Good morning and welcome to Two in the Morning with...
Janet Street Porter.
And Paul Callan.
Oh, you just managed that, didn't you, Paul?
Yes, I wanted to get in first.
I noticed you took control, just like the old days.
I've got this natural sort of majestic presence, you know. It's just
bouncy charm.
Bouncy charm, somebody wrote that, I remember.
Noticed 10 years have passed and you're still wearing the same dreary old suit.
It is, well, it's worn
well. It's dreadful.
I can still get into it, though.
Yes, you've been doing aerobics or something.
No, I'm taking up sort of jogging.
Yes.
Sort of armchair jogging.
Yeah, it's made all the muscles on your face go all loose, bouncing up and down too much.
It's very good. It's the rubicund look. Anyway, you look lovely this morning. You look beautiful. Why are you wearing shark's teeth around your throat?
Yeah, well, I've got a lot of teeth on, listeners, because I thought my homage to 10 years of broadcasting would be...
And LBC.
And LBC would be a lot of teeth. So I've got a jacket with lots of kind of teeth on it, and I've got a necklace teeth.
That's right, jaws.
And then I've got the well-known teeth
sitting
in my mouth.
They are. They haven't changed. I haven't seen you for a long time.
No, I've worn better than you, I must say. Still, plastic surgery is making amazing
advances. It's amazing that... are you still going to that Swiss clinic?
Swiss clinic?
Yes.
Oh, I don't need any injections of anything.
Swiss clinic, they used to, you know, don't they sort of put injections of monkeys in your bum or something?
No, I am Renaissance woman.
Shall
I just tell the listeners, in the last 10 years, I've learnt how to make jam, chutney.
My goodness.
I've got married twice more.
Yes, I know that.
You stayed married to the same woman, but then you always were very boring.
I was always fidelity, semper fidelis. I need not, of course,
semper very tedious, yes. I think. Look, we have a guest this morning.
Oh, yes,
morning.
Harry. It's the Harry Hayes show.
Yes,
Harry Hayes.
He was trying to chain a record shops in Fulham, actually. I used to go to school with his son.
I don't think it's quite the same one.
This is his Australian brother. No, Brian. Welcome to our show.
Thank you for having me.
That's all right. It's very nice. Very nice of us to be back in the studio.
They've redecorated it since we were here before.
Yes. I mean, when we were last here, it didn't have all this posh stuff on the top of the table. You used to have formica tops on the table, and so when we used to have our guests in, particularly those that sort of wore sort of ladies that wore great bracelets, do you remember? And you'd ask them a question, and suddenly in the middle of it, you'd hear this terrible clank. Sounded as they were dropping sort of great ironmongery all over the place.
Well, the other exciting thing about the early days of LBC that perhaps listeners don't realise is they hadn't finished building the studios when we did the show, and there was a lot of cement kind of out around the studio, and then in the studio itself, a lot of building work was still going on while we used to do Two in the Morning, and of course it was live, and there were all sorts of catastrophes, and guests didn't turn up, and things like that. But one of the worst things that I think happened to me was, I think Paul was off somewhere, like the motor show, and I was desperately trying to get the thing going in the studio and handle all the knobs, which I was never very good at, and a man came into the studio with a bag of tools and a tape measure, and I was in the middle of interviewing someone, and he started to measure up the wall of the studio and get a drill out.
That's right.
So I put a jingle on. I said, get out, this is a live show, for God's sake, what's going on in here? And he said, I've got my work to do, lady, you do yours and I'll do mine.
The archetypal Jobsworth. That was the first time we experimented with a two-way attempt. It was the motor show, and it was hilarious because, I mean, we really, in those days, neither of us had had any broadcasting experience, so to speak of. And we were really broadcasting by the seat of our pants, our frilly ones as well. And I went to Earl's Court for the motor show, and Janet here, we were having a two-way debate, and Janet was going to have all the friends of the earth in, all pro-bicycles.
I had all the pedestrians, the ecology people.
That's right, and I had I had Ernest Marples, the former Minister of Transport, there in a special studio we'd built, and there was Patrick Cargill, an actor who's an ardent motorist, and Lord Stokes, who was then chairman of British Leyland. And, of course, we couldn't get through because every time we kept fading out. And I suddenly saw at one moment, looking out of the corner of my eye at this studio, that Lord Stokes, this eminent captain of industry, getting more and more furious as nothing was happening. The then head engineer of LBC standing in the corner with two bare wires that he was holding together. And they started to spark. And at any moment, I expected a great... a great explosion and just see a charred sort of cinder.
Well, they were
going
berserk because all the pedestrians were in the studio saying how disgusting motor cars were and how people who made them should be kind of sent to Siberia.
Did you two just go on like this all morning?
Yeah, but I mean, I'm sorry, Brian. I mean, Harry.
Who is this man?
Harry could barely get a word in edgeway.
Yes. We used to ask them to leave separately and they used to fall asleep often.
Who did you have as guests?
Oh, gosh, we used to...
A lot of social workers.
I know.
No, I don't mean that social workers. We're not saying it. I will get lots of letters now.
No, we used to have a lot of guests who didn't turn up or who were late. Mm. And we went... One of our producers was very tearful. And I remember Paul used to be really beastly to her because she used to go and sob in the ladies' toilet. And she'd say... Someone else hasn't turned up. And Paul said, why are you crying? We're in the studio.
It's terrible.
You're outside.
Well, actually, things haven't changed all that much, it seems.
No. We used to sort of get on very well, really, and we sort of generate. We never scripted anything, as was so obvious sometimes. But I suppose we did bounce off each other very, very well. We sometimes used to rehearse the or see something would be in the papers that we knew that we could actually sort of get a little action going on air, because it was great fun. And often people... would think that we were having a proper row on air, and Janet, as you would imagine, was very particularly popular with taxi drivers and other lower orders. And I'd get into a cab going home, and I'd try to cab driver to say to me, "Yeah," obviously hearing my beautifully modulated tones as I'm saying, "Take me to Knightsbridge." He'd say, "You know, yeah, you that Paul Callan." So I said, yes, I am, actually.
Absolutely.
Reaching for my pen for the inevitable autograph. He said, well, oh, listen, we're all a bit pissed off with you, mate. I said, why is that? Well, you leave that bleeding Janet alone, because she's very nice, or we'll come round and duff you up. They meant it.
I can remember.
She was the one who was always thumping
apart from, you know, your love of taxi drivers. I can remember some of the wonderful things that were said in the newspapers.
Yes.
It seemed fascinating to people that somebody with a London accent could be heard on a London radio station.
Yes, well, I mean, for the first time, people heard someone on the radio speaking the way most people do.
Well, some.
What? Now, Brian, I mean, most people speak like me.
Yeah, Harry, you leave our Janet alone or we'll come and duff you up.
I think as I've gone on to prove, Harry, that my accent is actually... very popular.
Yes, it is.
Well, and yes, yours is, but there are not lots of other people with your accent. There are a couple, yes.
Well, I'm keeping them out, aren't I?
That's right.
I
mean, corner of the market.
There have been attempts to assault
did they say?
The Everest of my achievements.
Enough of this bounty. What did they say in the newspapers?
Oh, well, the worst person, without doubt, it was Richard Afton in the Evening News.
Who?
And where is he now? Come in boat number five. Mr. Afton said... well, it sounds as if Janet is consuming a plate of spaghetti without a spoon and fork. Add to this a cackling noise reminiscent of the lament of a frightened goat, and you have the picture.
Bad journalism, I think.
I know. Whoever taught Ms. Street Paul to speak has a lot to answer for.
Yes.
And I was an obvious women's libber.
That's right.
Did they say things about you as well, Paul?
Oh, they used to sort of attack me, saying that I was snobbish and elitist and, you know, far too grand and was always putting Janet down. I mean, it was...
Well, that was true, but we passed on that
because we couldn't stand each other.
Okay, can I just, revert to being the usual... presenter
go
figure.
Go ahead, Jerry.
Because we have things like commercials on LBC.
I now proclaim the Albert Hall open.
I name this memorial after Prince Albert.
The Albert Embankment I open in memory of the Prince Consort. I announce the Albert Bridge open.
Why did we build over 100 memorials to Queen Victoria's husband? More than a century after his death, there's now an exhibition about Prince Albert, sponsored by the Observer and Midland Bank. It's at the Royal College of Art, next to the Albert Hall, every day from 10 till 6:30 and 8 on Wednesdays, starting October the 11th.
Something else to drink for madam?
Will you order for dinner, sir?
Come under the wing of Eagle Star Insurance with the right pension plan and retire happily ever after.
Come on, dear. We mustn't keep the captain waiting.
Your local Eagle Star manager knows all about pension planning. Ask him.
Peter Dealey reports the news and makes sure you have all the information you need. Midday until 2, LBC reports.
It's 15 degrees in London today, cloudy. There will be some rain by lunchtime and quite a lot of it this afternoon, the estimated maximum temperature, 16 degrees. The murder of two police reservists in Northern Ireland is being bitterly condemned by unionist and Catholic politicians. The two men were shot by an IRA gang as they were patrolling the mainly Catholic Meadowlands estate in Downpatrick, 30 miles south of Belfast. Labour's annual conference in Brighton ends today with a controversial debate criticising the police. The motion calls for more police accountability and a curb on police powers. The major functions of the Greater London Council are to be taken over by appointed boards when the council is abolished in 3 years. That's according to a report in today's Local Government Chronicle, based on a leaked copy of the government's abolition white paper due to be published later this morning. Diane Stradling has the details.
The boards, with members nominated by the boroughs, will take over functions such as the police, education and the fire service. Remaining services like planning, highways, the probation service and housing will be run by the London boroughs. In addition to the boards, a number of commissions will be set up to sell off surplus assets of the GLC, supervise its capital debt and to monitor staffing for the first 3 years, when the government admits there's likely to be redundancies. The abolition proposals, which will affect 6 metropolitan counties as well as the GLC, follow a pledge in the Conservative manifesto from the last election. They're due to come into effect from April the 1st, 1986.
The Richmond and Twickenham Times has failed to appear for the 7th successive week because of a dispute with its printers. The trouble started after 2 machine minders, both members of the National Graphical Association, were made redundant. Although the row has gone to arbitration, print staff are still refusing to produce the paper. News Radio for Greater London, LBC.
I thought part oily and part dry skin was unusual, until I discovered many people have combination skin like mine. And Cuticura is a soap specially formulated for combination skin.
Cuticura mildly medicated soap works down into the pores to help remove excess oils, while its special emollients moisturize the drier parts.
After just 1 bar of Cuticura, I don't use anything else.
Try the Cuticura 1-bar test yourself. See what lovely skin you could have had all along. Cuticura mildly medicated soap for skin that's part oily and part dry.
It's fun wearing new clothes and shoes, but because they're new, you can end up with sore, chafed, irritated skin, and that's no fun at all.
That's where Cuticura Talc comes to the rescue. Cuticura Talc is mildly medicated, so it's ideal for chafing, itchy rashes, hot, tired feet, and all sorts of minor skin irritations.
So if you don't want to suffer for the sake of fashion, try Cuticura Mildly Medicated Talc. It's great for the whole family.
Cuticura Talc, mildly medicated to soothe, cool and comfort.
On October the 8th, 1973, LBC began a broadcasting revolution, the start of independent radio and Europe's only all-news radio station. How has LBC developed and what does the future hold in store? Find out tonight at 8 o'clock in LBC. 10 years on.
2 in the morning with Paul Cullen and Janet Street Porter. I'm their guest this morning, and I'm very grateful having been invited. I'm sure you would like to call in, particularly if you were listening on that first morning and you'd like to just reminisce a little. We like to be positive, but you can reminisce a little today. 353-8111, you know, is the telephone number. The other thing we've been doing is inviting people to write some letters to us about the next 10 years, you know, in our theme of being positive. So we'll read some of those a little later. They're prize winners.
Mm. Can we come back in 10 years' time?
Well, it's not up to me. Who knows? I might
20
be invited,
years on.
Actually, I remembered one thing about our show, Paul, that I was never allowed to read the weather again after day one.
That's right.
Where I was so stricken with nerves that I was pushed this little piece of yellow paper, and you notice how Brian handles it all so well.
Smooth.
So fluid.
Professional,
and
that's
professional
it.
Professional and everything.
It. He's well, eating, got his mouth full of cake at the moment.
Yes, well, we gloss over that. But I was given the weather to read, and I remember being trying to do my best and trying to make my accent sound as acceptable as it possibly could. And I said, England is moving westwards under a cold front.
That's right.
Remember, there was hysteria.
Hysteria, yes. You weren't allowed to read the weather anymore. There was also, do you remember when we used to subscribe to a service from Time Out magazine? I think you were married to one of its owners then, or about to be.
I can't quite remember.
It was called old-fashioned nepotism. Well done, Janet.
No, I wasn't married.
No, you were going to marry him. We were going to marry someone, anyway. Some relationship. I don't know. I mean, it was all confusing. I mean, all these men in Janet's life. I mean, her sobbing in the corner of the studio. I never know what to do.
Paul, I'm not a sobber. I just marry them.
Marry them? Well, like Elizabeth Taylor. we used to have this service from Time Out, which used to tell us all these things was going on over London, and you'd say, you know, and we'd just give four sheets to each, and we'd say when we were running short of guests or people didn't turn up. And bear in mind, it was a three-hour show. It went from 9 till midday.
Yeah.
So we had a lot of time to fill in. And we'd have these things and say, well, if we go to Ilford in the evening here, Tiny Tot's evening, there will be Uncle Fred. And then Janet would read out something about there's going to be an all-jazz concert at the Roundhouse tonight. And I always remember one occasion, the habit that some of the people at Time Out were of a very left-wing persuasion, and they would try to sneak in various things, because they knew that we hadn't read these things before, that we would just read them straight off the top of the head. And one of these things were perhaps excessively left-wing, but it wasn't so much the left-wingness, it was one of the collection points for IRA charities. I will never forget Janet reading in the middle of one of these things, she read out, and there'll be jazz tonight at the Roundhouse. Now, also in Kilburn tonight, there will be a... No, I'm not reading that out.
Yes, you had to exercise kind of instant censorship.
It was very funny. We broke up.
Can I, just before we get some telephone calls, I mentioned the letters. Can I just pass you one each, which these are the prize-winning letters, and you could read one each. I'll read one or two. Later, Douglas Cameron was set the task of writing an essay as well. He'll be reading his to us just after 11. And Peter Dealey also took part in the exercise. Before all that, though, let's start the ball rolling on the telephone. Lena has called in from Barnes. Good morning.
Good morning. I was one of the first ones to listen, and I thought it was marvellous because Janet Street Porter's voice and her personality was so refreshing, and they seemed to sort of click together, the two of them. The other gentleman, and Kevin O'Callaghan. You know, even though they're different, you know, perhaps apart in different ways, but, you know, it seemed a very, very good idea to have them together. And also, Adrian Love, and I think he was marvellous, and all through the night, and he was so interested in caring for people. And I think LBC, and we all owe them a great deal, because it's through them that really it took off, because everybody... I was so interested in, well, those are the three main ones.
Well, you know Adrian, of course, is with us again now on Sunday nights.
That's right, yes. And I think people really, you know, LBC and perhaps other people haven't appreciated him, but I think people like myself, who at the time was on my own, I just lost my husband, and to me it was a great friend, and it helped me through a very difficult time, and I'm sure it did a lot of others.
I think it did for a lot of people, Janet. I mean, you know, apart from your refreshing voice, a lot of people found there was a kind of friendliness about the station.
Oh, yes. I mean, a lot of people listened to the programme very closely, and I had to be very careful that I didn't say I like something, because once I made the really, in retrospect, stupid mistake of saying... Paul and I were talking about trees. I mean, don't ask me how we got onto trees. And I said I really like laburnum trees. And I came out of the studio 2 hours later, and there was a huge tree in a barrel in reception that two people had brought up in a car. It was just what people were so kind.
That's how corruption begins.
I had to be constantly restrained by Janet from saying things like, brand of whiskey or brand of brandy. Yeah, yeah. I hope that.
Well, Lena, thank you for calling. 3538111, if you'd like to call. While you're busy dialing, let's read a couple of these letters. There are one, two, three. Four prize winners. The prizes will be going out next week. Nothing elaborate, you know us better than that. a small token of our appreciation. And I was going to ask you whether you also had champagne every morning as we do now. Did you?
I think we had very stale water.
Yes, and kind of horrid coffee.
Horrid coffee. And Janet used to go to Mix Cafe in Fleet Street, just down the road, and buy a bacon sandwich.
I'd try and eat the bacon sandwich when Paul was kind of rabbiting on about
people
something.
People still do. People still buy bacon sandwiches from Mix.
There was this great moor jaws opposite me, and okay, if I had a hangover.
Well, anyway, as you've gathered, it's nice champagne, very nice coffee.
Very lovely.
And letters from our listeners. Who's going to lead off, Janet?
Oscar. Well, this letter's from Mr. Vass Anderson of Stanley Crescent, West 11. Here is the news on the minute, every minute, read by Lord Cameron of the Glens. It is 9 o'clock. Prime Minister Mr. Brian Hayes today paid tribute to LBC on the occasion of its 20th anniversary, October the 8th, 1993. Commenting on how he owes his huge success to the station, he explained that after years of hosting a phone-in, he was encouraged to form a party with no opinions, no views and no policies, like the presenter must have, and he swept to power. His dream ticket deputy, Mr. Dan Damon, so entitled because he works in the middle of the night, added that once the advent of video phones had destroyed the old phone-in programmes, as seeing each other made it too ordinary, LBC had a problem. This was complicated by weather, traffic, comments, sport and features all being available on video, so LBC had no programmes left. This had been brilliantly solved by having news every minute. That is the news. We know our onions here. The time is 9:01. Here is the news. Lord Holness of Blockbuster reading it. Well, that's pretty good, isn't it?
Very good, and well done to the writer of that letter. What's yours, Paul?
Well, this is from Mr. Colin Wynne, a good name, of Mark Avenue, Chingford.
What do you mean, a good name?
Well, he won. Well,
Wynne, I see.
Wynne.
Oh, Wynne won. Wynne,
yes. Wynne, get it quick as a flash. It says, Dear Brian, LBC deserves congratulations for not only surviving 10 years... under the steely gaze of the IBA, but proving that all news stations can be a success in this country and providing a refuge on the wave band from the inane twittering elsewhere. Well, next 10 years, dot, dot, dot.
Pause for effect.
Well, it's all this dramatic trade. Having got the balance pretty well right, it would be a pity if LBC moved towards a particular emphasis, so that it became identified as perhaps an art station with sued appeal, where bearded gurus from Hampstead peddle into Gough Square each day to explain Pinter and how to produce 50 works of art from a pile of bricks. Sounds like the Daily Mirror. Neither should LBC employ well-heeled refugees from breakfast television in the mistaken belief that they will prove less irritating if they can't be seen. Still, there is always room for some innovation, and having heard what Richard Robbins can do for classical music, it might be fascinating to see what Jim Kelts could do for the arts. Douglas Cameron on the latest pop music, Colin Turner running his eye over the form before each election programme, and Brian Hayes coping with the Sunday night slightly silly slot.
Oh, yes.
Yours sincerely, Colin Wynne.
Wow. I've got one here, which is from Orpington, and it is from Bert Astor. It's in handwriting, that's why I was hesitating just a moment. And Bert writes, actually, people seem to be obsessed with me becoming a politician. I have absolutely no intention of entering politics before you hear what this man has to say. My prediction for the next 10 years on LBC, Bob and Doug will retire. Bob will become a cookery expert on breakfast television. Occasionally, of course, it says. Doug will make a hit record with Boy George. Brian Hayes will leave LBC to become leader of the Social Democrat Party, with the chance of becoming the first PM of the UK from down under. Peter Dealey and Douglas Moffat will both make fortunes on the stock exchange, then set up a trust fund for poor and distressed LBC presenters. Probably be plenty of them by then. Richard Robbins will tour London on a tricycle. Jill Pyra will become a dame. Dickie Arbiter will be knighted. I don't suppose that's all that far from the truth either. Dan Damon and Philip Hodgson will still be trying to solve the nation's sex problems, an impossible task in brackets. On the commercial side of the business, Terry Wogan will convince all the women to change their husbands. Everyone will have double glazing. In fact, we will all be buttered up. In the meantime, best wishes to you all. Thank you for those letters. There's one more which we'll save for a little later, because we're now getting to the point where we're running late. So we won't run late. We'll say this is LBC traffic.
Now, wheeling my way through East London at Limehouse in the vicinity of Bow Common, I find that the fire which has been dominating the proceedings in that area is well and truly out, but there's a bit of demolition work taking place in the vicinity of Burdett Road, and that is causing some problems, and it will do throughout the rest of the morning. They're hoping to finish it by early afternoon. So, some dangers there in East London. At Knightsbridge, between Scotch Corner and the Hyde Park Corner underpass, there's some road resurfacing taking place, temporary road surface, very lumpy, very bumpy, and if you're on a tricycle, well, my word, you have my sympathy. At Neasden, to the northwest of town, at Neasden Lane, some road resurfacing there. That's going to take 3 months and is bringing eternal problems. Certainly they seem to be eternal throughout the rush hours. And the traffic lights in the Finchley Road at the junction of West End Lane, they're causing a few delays there with the Finchley Road itself. Southbound traffic tailing back periodically as far as Hendon. Richard Robbins, New Scotland Yard.
Counsel for the prosecution, would you like to present your case?
Certainly, Your Honour. With the defendant's help, I'd like to take the court through an action replay of the incident. Uh-huh. Now, here we see you lingering unnoticed around the garden.
Yeah, that's right.
Yes,
yeah.
You must have been feeling quite confident at that moment, were you?
Oh, yeah, pretty confident, John.
Yes. Now, this is where you really come into the action, isn't it?
Yeah.
You find yourself in space, pick up the brick nicely, juggle it around a bit, and then lob it straight through the centre. Beautiful.
Yes, John.
Oh, but this is interesting. The home team's installed inter-seal double glazing and have the built-in tamper device connected to an alarm.
Yeah, they have.
Superb defensive tactics, wouldn't you agree?
Oh, yeah.
Yes, you can hear the noise right outside the grounds. You were caught out completely there, weren't you?
Yeah, John, I suppose so.
Absolutely.
Silence in court! Defendant, how do you plead?
Sick as a parrot, Your Honour. Sick as a parrot.
For double glazing, you can trust Ring 961-2000.
Unlike other airlines, we can fly you daily, non-stop, Gatwick to Dallas, to connect with more than 35 flights to the major cities of America's South and West. It's just one of the ways we're unlike other airlines. Talk to your travel agent or call us. We're American Airlines.
LBC News. The murder of two police reservists in Northern Ireland is being bitterly condemned by unionist and Catholic politicians. The two men were shot by an IRA gang as they were patrolling the mainly Catholic Meadowlands estate in Dunpatrick, 30 miles south of Belfast. Doctors in Liverpool have reported the case of a British woman dying from the killer disease AIDS. Writing in the medical journal The Lancet, they say they spent 4 weeks treating the 33-year-old patient at the city's Royal Teaching Hospital, but failed to save her life. Jeff Anderson reports.
The woman died a month after being admitted to the hospital. Doctors say she was married at 16 and that she became pregnant four times by the age of 19. She admitted having a number of sexual partners, and after divorcing her husband, she had two abortions. A post-mortem revealed that she was suffering from the sex disease herpes, as well as a rare skin cancer. Acquired immune deficiency syndrome, which breaks down the body's resistance to disease, has become known as the gay plague because it normally affects homosexuals. The other nine who've died in Britain have all been men. Other people at risk from AIDS are drug addicts, haemophiliacs, and patients who've been given transfusions of contaminated blood. Doctors say the woman had not received a transfusion and that she didn't use drugs. Jeff Anderson, IRN, Liverpool.
Labour's annual conference in Brighton ends today with a controversial debate criticising the police. The motion calls for more police accountability and a curb on police powers. Two Israeli soldiers have been killed in an ambush in the southern Lebanese port of Sidon. The state-run Beirut radio said unidentified men hurled a hand grenade at a jeep escorting an Israeli convoy through the town. San Francisco is cancelling its sister city relationship with Manila. Mayor Dianne Feinstein says she is severing links with the Philippines capital until the true facts of the assassination of opposition leader Benigno Aquino are revealed. London's weather cloudy, some rain at we'll have some rain by lunchtime, but it will be a quite wet afternoon. Winds moderate southwesterly. The barometer reading at 10 was 1,018.3 millibars and falling. Temperature, 15 degrees now. That's 59 Fahrenheit. The estimated maximum, 16. And you know, of course, that that is 61 Fahrenheit, don't you? It will become dry this evening, and it will be dry throughout the night. Cold, and winds will be westerly. But the weekend is a slightly different story. The outlook, some sun on Saturday morning, then more rain in the afternoon. A bit drier and brighter on Sunday. Temperatures tonight down to 9 degrees. 26 and a half minutes to 11. In a moment, back to Paul and Janet and 2 in the morning. But now, LBC Crime File from New Scotland Yard.
On Crime File today, we're looking for a black Ford Cortina Mark III and two white men in their late 30s. On Monday morning at about 7:30, that car was in Ullswater Road, which is between Tulse Hill and West Norwood, just off Norwood Road. Those two men asked the lad driving it how to get to Trinity Road, but before he could give them directions, a sickly-smelling cloth was clamped over his mouth and nose, and he passed out. 14 hours later, he woke up in a field at Findon, down near Worthing, minus the car, and with £20 missing from his back pocket. The car's still missing, and a black Mark III Cortina shouldn't be too hard to spot, except that we don't know where to start. The index number's BOL268K, that's B Bravo O Oscar L Lima 268K Kilo, and perhaps you can help there. The two men involved were both white, tall, and in their late 30s. One was fat with a beer stomach and bald, wearing thick square glasses with gold rims, and the other was slim with swept back black hair and a black leather safari jacket. If you recognise them, or if you know anything else that'll help us get to the bottom of this, the yard number is 230-1212. Martin Hapgood, LBC Crime File, New Scotland Yard.
Admiring the motor then, eh, Squire? Oh, student, yeah, well, tell by the scarf. Some of my best customers are in the college fraternity. Well, seeing as it's you, I'll knock this one out cheap, eh? Money? Ah, your grant will cover it. Well, over the next 3 years, of course. Look, a car like this will make your grant go further. Stands to reason.
Listen, the best way to get about and make your grant go further is with a young person's rail card. For just £12, you'll get half-price travel on most journeys for a whole year and no extras for maintenance. Full details are available at your student travel office or British Rail station. So use your head, discover this is the age of the train.
Yeah, owned by a vicar's wife. Only 10,000 on the clock.
The situation aboard the submarine Ridiculous was desperate.
Sir, we're stuck on the bottom, and there's no power in the solar batteries.
No power?
And another thing.
Yes?
The men are revolting.
I've known that for years.
Shall I make a radio out of my buttons and call Intergalactic Rescue?
Sure.
Calling Intergalactic Rescue.
What's the hype, babes?
Our solar-powered sub's stuck on the ocean floor.
We ain't on ocean since the cutbacks, babe. Solar power, you say?
Yep.
Got any Kellogg's cornflakes?
Sure.
140 days of sunshine in every pack. Pour them out and it'll revitalize your nodules.
Wow, it works. Kellogg's cornflakes have restored us to full power.
Wenda, the lights come on.
No, it hasn't. And don't call me Wenda.
Hello, hello, hello. That's three. If you can count all the O's in the Perrier commercial in the very next break, you could win a French holiday for two. Pencils ready and off you go. That's four.
LBC, top 20 share check.
BP up 2 at 4:30, Barclays Bank up 2, 4:54, Blue Circle 4:23, Bass up 2, 3:28, Bowater.
The situation aboard the submarine Ridiculous was desperate.
Sir, we're stuck on the bottom, and there's no power in the solar batteries.
No power?
And another thing.
Yes?
The men are revolting.
I've known that for years.
Shall I make a radio out of my buttons and call Intergalactic Rescue?
Sure.
Calling Intergalactic Rescue.
What's the hype, babes?
Our solar-powered sub's stuck on the ocean floor.
We ain't on ocean since the cutbacks, babe. Solar power, you say?
Yep.
Got any Kellogg's cornflakes?
Sure.
140 days of sunshine in every pack. Pour them out and it'll revitalize your nodules.
Wow, it works! Kellogg's cornflakes have restored us to full power.
Wenda, the lights come on.
No, it hasn't. And don't call me Wenda.
Hello, hello, hello. That's three. If you can count all the O's in the Perrier commercial in the very next break, you could win a French holiday for two. Pencils ready and off you go. That's four.
LBC, top 20 share check.
BP. 2 a.m, Janet Street Porter and Paul Cullen with me. Actually, I'm with them. Yes. I keep forgetting my
priorities,
my place.
Yeah. Priorities.
I would like to introduce you, Paul and Janet, to Inga, who's called from Wembley. Good morning. Inga, good morning.
Good morning, Brian. First of all, congratulations on a wonderful station. The birth of the station coincided with my husband's death. And as it was the only station I could listen to all night, for obvious reasons I couldn't sleep, it kept my sanity. It saved my sanity. And I think it's a wonderful station. I'm a fervent listener, have been ever since then. And I thank everybody who is concerned with LBC. I was very worried at one time. It looked as if it was going off the air, but it's recovered again.
Yeah, it has looked like that a couple of times.
It was very rocky in the beginning, wasn't it?
Yes, and it's rocked a few times since, and probably will continue to rock a little here and there. That makes us much more interesting,
that's
I always
right.
think. We were talking earlier, Janet, about how it did actually help people considerably. And overnight, a lot of people were very interested in the fact that they could tune in at any time of the night, and there was this friendly voice and people phoning in and so on.
Oh, I think that people thought for the first time, probably, on English radio, because I think the BBC was rather more formal. I mean, apart from programmes like Family Favourites, which were a programme that I think that the family very much felt involved in. But LBC, I think, was the first station that people listened to and felt that it was a member of the family. And the radio became like a friend in the room. And I know that, I mean, this is on a slightly more serious note, I know that Paul and I, although we had a great deal of fun doing the show, I have never had so many letters and such instant response from people. And you began to realise that, that people listened to everything you said very closely and became... regarded you as a friend, or I have to say, as an enemy. I mean, there were people who loathed me and regarded me as kind of some secret weapon that LBC had unleashed on the airways to torture them.
Yeah, but even if you're an enemy, I mean, this still applies. Even if you're an enemy, people still have a sneaking regard for their enemies.
Oh yes, they my enemies used to write me wonderful letters.
Yes.
I mean, I often wonder what's happened to these people now. I had a fabulous letter from one man that said, "Madam, for a broadcaster, you make an excellent traffic warden."
I remember that.
And there was another gentleman who was a doctor who wrote to me, and he said, "Dear madam, I listen to you every morning in the car on my way to Harley Street or somewhere." And he said, "The sound of the slosh slashing around in your adenoids is driving me insane. I am offering you a free adenoids operation."
Yes.
Paul used to wave his letter around the office.
You didn't take up the offer, I know.
Certainly not. I mean, Melvin Bragg's had it, and who can tell the difference?
Well, that's exactly, yes.
I know you want to get around to talk about some of the letters, but before we do that, Michael is calling us also from Islington. Good morning, and I should say thank you to Inga for phoning this morning. Hello, Michael.
Good morning, Brian. I'd only just say that what the other people were saying about a radio helping you through the night, it's a far more friendly medium. It kind of nurses you to sleep, or... if you've lost your wife like I did, it keeps you going, I think, until wiser counsels prevail and your life picks up again. So, just thank you very much.
Okay, thank you very much indeed, Michael. Guess who's walked in?
God, it's our man in the dirty raincoat from Waterloo Station, Michael Watts, no less.
Yes. That's, it started in Waterloo Station. It was terrible out of that.
Just be able to explain that when Janet and I were doing our programme, I, of course, thought all the ideas up. No, we had an idea.
Please, people listening can decide
the genius, the Nobel. I'm Nobel Prize winner here. No, we actually decided we would have some regular spots on the programme, and one of the early regular spots was Michael Watts. And Michael would go down to one of the main stations and ask people getting off the trains coming into work what they thought of a particular topic of the day. And then he'd rush back here and was looking frenzied and then edit it himself, and then we'd play it. And we always used to call him our man in the dirty raincoat, and now over to Waterloo Station. He had many adventures, didn't
well, it
you,
was
Michael?
Well, I did, yes. It was all right when it was at the station, but after a few weeks, I got turfed off the stations because of bomb scares, a lot of bomb scares at that time.
We're talking about 1973.
Mm. Yes, yes. And, I mean, it was... I couldn't quite see how I was a threat, but anyway, I wasn't allowed on.
That suit of yours.
So I was on the station, and one was like a little rock in the rapids as they came off the trains. But then when you were outside, it was terrible, because you had to get up, well, before dawn, and go out in the dark, and it used to be raining, and you used to have an umbrella in one hand and a microphone in the other. And I remember most of the time, people were banging on about, well, first of all, it was the miners' strike, and then it was a 3-day week. And one day, a bit of light relief, there was an argument about whether the caning should be, it's still going on today, should be caning in schools. And I made the mistake of asking some little boys who always passed by while I was, this was in Sloane Square, always passed by at that time, for their views. And forever after that, these little blighters used to come up to me and say, "What's today?" And I said, "No, it's a grown-up's topic today." and they wouldn't go away. At least they, in the end, they used to walk away and then wait till I was in the middle of an interview and then come creeping up behind and go, "Yay, yay!" and ruin it all. And in the end, what I had to do, I mean, they wouldn't go. And so I had to pack up everything and take the microphone out and wind up everything and then walk round the corner and then hide around the corner, looking around the corner to see when they'd all gone.
I don't think I really appreciated what you did at the time, because since I left LBC, I've done thousands of Vox Pops for London Weekend Television, and I've stood buffeted by people desperately trying to ask them the kind of questions you did. And I really appreciate it now. And you used to do it before dawn. I mean, nobody'd get me out at that hour.
We still have people like you, Michael.
If you listen, I hear them, yes.
If you listen to AM, you know exactly that some things don't change. And one of the delightful things that don't change is that we have commercials on most days. LBC 15 and a half minutes to 11.
Welcome to the Perrier O level contest. If you can count how many times Felicity Kendall pronounces the Perrier O sound after the buzzer, you could win a fabulous holiday for two in southern France. Go.
Hello. When I go to my local bistro for a nice slow meal, the waiter, Joe, knows the only O I go for is Perrier. Anything else is like comparing Pavlova with a go-go dancer. I just won't accept so-so O's. Oh, no, sir. Say no to pseudo-O's and only say hello to the O called Perrier, which only goes to show.
Can you complete Felicity's last line in less than 10 words? Full details on special O-level competition packs of 1 litre Perrier on sale now. Good luck and...
Cheerio. That one doesn't count.
Entertainment and the arts, plus London news, all reported on London Life, tonight at 7 on LBC.
15 degrees in London, today cloudy, some rain by lunchtime, quite a lot of it this afternoon, and winds will be moderate southwesterly, the estimated maximum 16 degrees. Labour's annual conference in Brighton ends today with a controversial debate criticising the police. The motion calls for more police accountability and a curb on police powers. The murder of two police reservists in Northern Ireland is being bitterly condemned by unionist and Catholic politicians. The two men were shot by an IRA gang as they were patrolling the mainly Catholic Meadowlands estate in Donpatrick, 30 miles south of Belfast. Scotland Yard says a company director has been charged with criminal deception and fraud in connection with a shipment of British Leyland components worth over £200,000. Stephen Salter from Cuffley in Hertfordshire, who's now on bail, will appear at Horsebury Magistrates Court in London later this month. Four people were killed last night in road accidents in London and the Home Counties. A 5-year-old girl has also died in hospital following injuries she received in a crash at Maidstone last Sunday. 20 firemen dealt with a blaze at Bancroft in Hitchin last night, which caused thousands of pounds of damage to garages and cars. Police and fire experts are investigating the cause. LBC News Radio.
Not much on telly,
what?
Though.
Oh, yes. Mind you, I've got one of the NVIDIA thingies at home now.
They're wanting what film?
Yes, yes. I plug it into my old set.
Yeah, I've still got that old set, have you?
I watch a different film every night.
Oh, that's a good idea, isn't it?
Well, it is. It is. I got to watch that film with that washy doodle, Peter Sellers.
Yeah.
Have you seen it? The Orange Panther.
The Pink Panther.
No. Pink. Oh, no, boy. It's definitely orange, because I've seen it once already. I had it out last week with the Lilac Baron.
Red Baron, or what?
And Clockwork Yellow.
Orange,
I think. There's no arguments, you see, with the kids. I record the Hill Street Mow.
Yes, blues.
And they keep Camberwick Pink.
Yes, green.
They record it all at comedy scenes. You see that? Purplish Brown Adder.
Well, black, yes.
For Christmas. For Christmas, we've got a real treat.
Oh, what's that?
The whole family's going to watch a Disney.
Oh, which one?
Snow Grey and the Seven Little Yellow Men.
Oh, nice.
Make your neighbour's aquamarine with envy with a Philips colour television with primary colour balance.
It's 2 a.m. as LBC reaches the end of its first 10 years. We've been asking you to consider the next 10 years. We've read several letters. You will hear from Douglas Cameron and Peter Dealey a little later. But just in case I do forget, there's one other letter which I should read, another of the prize winners, and this is from Eileen Hall in Worthing. And she writes, during the next 10 years, we fear the world may be blown apart by some multiple nuclear accident. However, should we survive the Holocaust in our Ministry of Defense-designed shelters of unhinged doors, etc., it would be good 10-year-old LBC who would keep us soldiering on, swatting flies, as the Ministry advises, etc. Richard Robbins would cheerfully keep bobbing up along the corridors under New Scotland Yard, describing the static state of the traffic. Bob Doug and Brian would raise our morale with Andrew Sisters songs, in joke there, though of course all three would reach pensionable age during the next 10 years. I'm not sure that that's the kind of thing we like revealed. Jewel Pyra could also describe the pyrotechnics of the explosions, and Peter deal with news bulletins of the fly-swatting campaign's progress as London doesn't make its way home. Philip Hodson could advise us, those of us with claustrophobia. Thank you very much indeed, Eileen. That was the other of the prize winners. And what were we talking? I was going to ask both of you, how long did Two in the Morning last? Because I can remember listening to it. I was at another radio station at the time. I listened regularly and enjoyed it and didn't tell the boss of the radio station I worked for. And I was dismayed, I must say to you.
Not as dismayed as we were.
When it came to an end.
I think they reached, they decided to change all the scheduling, didn't they? It's about after 5 months.
5 months.
And we had a tremendous following, but for reasons best known to the people that run the station, they decided to change the format of the morning shows and to introduce more phone-ins and to have more rolling news. And I think it ran for about 5 months, and then Paul and I carried on at LBC doing different kind of shows. I did an early evening kind of talk show from 6.30 to 7.30, where I met stars, and Paul did an afternoon news show.
I did weekend shows. It was called Callan on Saturday and Callan on Sunday.
Which was the original title.
But it was all...
We now have Hayes on Saturday.
So it's the same. I mean,
nothing's changed.
Nothing's changed. Everything remains constant. And I did that, and then, which are outside broadcasts, and then there's our version of the Brain
Trust. You know
what?
I've just remembered that we, in the middle of doing...
I owe you money.
No, you don't owe me money. In the middle of doing Two in the Morning, we went to a party for the Goons.
Oh, that's right.
And Prince Charles asked for my autograph.
He didn't.
He didn't ask for yours.
He didn't ask for your autograph.
He used to listen to Two in the Morning.
He smiled at me.
I had my multicoloured fur coat on. I ought to explain to listeners, this was 10 years ago when people wore multicoloured fur coats.
Wearing multicoloured hair.
That's right, thank you, Mike. Well, I think Prince Charles thought I was a large parrot or something.
That's right. He thought you were a sort of walking traffic light, actually.
It's interesting that royalty did listen.
They did. We did. We commanded a vast and respectful audience. I mean,
about respectful.
Often we went up, and the first thing Prince Charles would come up to us at parties and say, of course I do. Love that programme of yours. It was extraordinarily good. That was just an excuse for me to do my Prince Charles imitation.
And very good it was, too. What have you people been doing since? I know that you probably think everybody knows, but that's probably not the case. I mean, we all think that everybody knows all the intimate details about us.
I've been on television.
Thank you, Harry.
On television?
Yes, I've been on television since 1975. And
aren't you tired yet?
Am I tired? No, I'd like royalties on all the people who impersonate me now. But I can't...
Any one of them does it well, though.
Oh, who? Tell me who you think.
Pamela Stevenson.
Yeah, I did a sketch with Pamela and Kenny Everett at Christmas on the Kenny Everett show, because I thought, well, blow this. I'm getting a bit cheesed off with all these impersonations. At last, I can be paid to be in the sketch where people impersonate me.
Well, you've been on television. Nobody does impressions of you, do they, Paul?
No. I just do one of Robin. Robin Day does one of me.
I have a new show that's going out tomorrow.
I've got a new show
called After Midnight.
That's it.
I got it in quite quickly, didn't I?
Yes.
I'm on with Ken Livingstone. Strange kind of bedfellow, but, you know, he's replaced Paul in my affection.
Is he going to bring his newts along?
No, salamanders are bad.
Salamanders.
Well, he's on LBC this afternoon doing what he's supposed to be doing, and that is, you know, representing the Greater London Council.
I like that, Brian.
Michael Watts, what have you been doing?
Well, the same as I was at the time, because after doing the bit on LBC, I used to toddle into my... just run down the road to my office at the Sunday Express. In fact, one of the... annoying things was when I was doing the interviews was people used to get off the point and start arguing with something I'd written in the previous week's Sunday Express, which, of course, absolutely useless from LBC's point of view.
Mm.
We may have been a bit amateurish in those days, but at least we weren't rude like you, Brian.
No.
There's a lot of sex on the radio
isn't there?
A lot of people talking about their sexual problems. Yeah. I mean, 10 years ago, we were all terribly innocent and we didn't have these problems, and maybe we led quite, what's the word? Our sex lives were quite boring, but then...
Do you think it's a bad thing?
Do I think it's a bad thing
that there's so much talk about sex?
Oh, yes, because it makes it boring. It can never be as good as the talk about it, can it?
I was going to ask you to make observations on, and I assume, of course, you are dedicated listeners still, on what has happened to the station over the years.
I think it's improved.
It could hardly do
anything else.
It's good insert. And I think perhaps it lacks humour. Perhaps, I don't know.
I don't think Brian's show lacks humour.
No, yeah,
I like it very much. I like the phone-ins because I especially like when you can sense trouble brewing. Mm. Like the other day when you had the euphemisms show.
Mm, yes.
You heard that.
I nearly fell out the taxi driver and I, he swerved, we were in hysterics. Well, I don't think I can repeat it. The actor and the lady friend
you can repeat it.
No, if I say it, there'll be complaints, but if Paul says it, there won't.
Well, I'll repeat it just for people who perhaps were not listening on that one day, and I want essays on why not. somebody phoned in to talk, we were talking about euphemisms with Betty Kirkpatrick of Chambers Dictionaries. And this chap phoned in with a slightly posh voice, talking about my actress girlfriend and I were going to the theatre or something, and she stepped out of the taxi and said, "Oh, shit, I've stepped in number two."
I laughed. I thought it was terribly funny.
Oh,
do you still listen, Paul? And if not, why not?
Oh, yes, I do. I do. I find it, I have actually been doing a few things since I left LBC.
Oh, what?
Well, I went to the Daily Mirror
in
1975 after I left LBC. They made an offer I could not refuse and wrote a column there, and I still write features.
You still do, of course.
Still do write a column.
I
find it invaluable that LBC, if you're working for a daily newspaper, and you really, I mean, I find the LBC's coverage of the news, and it's sharp, quick, well-subbed, well-written, clean, instant information news.
Careful.
There speaks a journalist, is absolutely invaluable. Mm. It's rather less, and it's more to the point, and you can digest it on a car radio far more quickly than you can at certain other radio stations which remain nameless.
Janet mentioned a few moments ago that it has become perhaps a bit, or somebody mentioned it, become a bit more serious. Mm. And that is something that obviously concerns people running the programme. We don't want to be thought of as having no sense of humour. Mm. Has it become, as there has been more news, more serious programming, has it become a bit po-faced, do you think?
I think there's been no deliberate... I feel that, I mean, we're tending to, I suppose, think inevitably of our own programme, which was, I suppose, unusual broadcasting.
Deeply lightweight.
It was, yes, very good. And that was, I suppose, in a way, if it achieved anything, it was instant humour. We could only do it off the top of our head. We couldn't have scripted anything. And I think possibly that sort of programme was good because it was pure radio. You couldn't have done that sort of show on television. You couldn't get it in print. It had to be only radio. I think probably that dimension, that sort of having two people or having some form of a show that generates that sort of rapport and humour, which sounds relaxed and sounds normal, is perhaps lacking in commercial radio. You have gone a bit serious.
What do you think, Michael?
Well, I don't think so. In fact, there's a lot too much silliness late at night at weekends, in my view.
How dare you?
Extremely silly.
Take that.
extremely silly. I think there's a limit to how much one can stomach of all these sort of things. I mean, I listen to Mr. Love quite a bit. The obvious answer is if I think he's extremely silly, then why do I listen? Well, because there's nothing else on, you see. And
on other stations, you mean?
Yes.
So your argument is with other stations?
Yes, for me, you see, LBC, it's a fight between LBC and Radio 4, and if there's nothing good on LBC, then it'll be Radio 4, and vice versa.
Mm.
And, of course, Mr. Love is sort of better than nothing.
You can call him Adrian.
Well, I don't think so, after this.
And you haven't been introduced anyway.
No.
A quick word with Sally, who's called from Barnet, just before we have to say a reluctant goodbye to our guests. Good morning.
Good morning.
Hello, Sally.
This is for Dawn Porter. I wish she'd come back. I liked her very much. And she's so much nicer than the one that's on now. To Friday, is it? Friday 6 o'clock programme.
Oh,
I do wish you'd come back.
Oh, this is the television programme. We don't want to know about that.
Why?
We're not interested in Janet on television. She's been trying to slip in references to television all morning. Anyway, I think you've got the message, haven't you?
Yes, well, thank you very much, Sally.
Nairi Dawn Porter, I think that's your new name, isn't it?
I met Nairi Dawn Porter yesterday at exercise class.
Nice New Zealand actress.
Yes, indeed, but very nice New Zealand actress who we all know, of course, and this is going back more than 10 years, from the Forsyth saga.
Yes, the whole nation was gripped by her.
Well, chaps, and Janet.
Thank you.
Thank you.
The old music.
Oh, isn't it nostalgic?
Thank you for coming in. It's been nice talking to you again.
I've enjoyed your company.
Thank you, Harry. It was a very nice show, wasn't it?
Michael?
Try not to be so rude in future, Brian.
I remember your words. And can I tell you that Peter Thornton will be on Nightline tonight. He'll be talking about LBC's first 10 years as well. You can call in. But in the meantime, that's the end of this once edition of 2 in the Morning.
London's traffic, and whilst not being the most exquisite delight in the world, driving in the Finchley Road at the moment is a lot more pleasant than it was a short while ago. This is due to the fact that the traffic lights have been repaired, I think, in the vicinity of West End Lane. At Neasden, also in northwest London, Neasden Lane looks pretty horrible and will be for the next 3 months. This is due to roadworks there. At Knightsbridge, between Scotch Corner and the Hyde Park Corner underpass, a very bumpy ride for you because the surface of the road has been taken up. This is prior to resurfacing, obviously. And out in Limehouse, there's some delays in the vicinity of Burdett Road. Richard Robbins, New Scotland Yard.
And out of town, traffic on the A30 London Road Bagshot is running reasonably well, although the road is having a surface dressing applied, and there are stop-go boards controlling the flow, which is likely to increase because of the attractions of professional golf at Wentworth and flat racing at Ascot. Lane closures may delay you on the A33 Winchester bypass, and that should be all clear by 12 noon. Laurie Keenan of the AA.
Would you recognize a Russian spy if you saw one in your living room? Is that shot fired by a goodie or a baddie?
Okay, chaps, the game's up.
Is this one of our chaps or one of theirs? This weekend, Britain's most ingenious criminal mind will keep you guessing.
Darling, do you think Sir James really did bump off the old girl?
Will you solve Agatha Christie's devilishly cunning new thriller on LWT? Just who is the secret adversary? To unravel this most sinister mystery, look for clues in a living room near you this weekend.
I say, is that another owl?
No, darling, it's a sound effect.
1152 kilohertz, 97.3 VHF stereo. News of London, the nation, and the world, 24 hours a day, LBC.
It's 11 o'clock, this is Douglas Cameron. Miners' leader Arthur Scargill has made an impassioned plea to the Brighton Conference for a radical new look at Britain's coal industry. Delegates called for a new commitment to the coal industry and the setting up of what they called a proper energy policy. Mr. Scargill demanded an overhaul of miners' working conditions.
I want to see retirement at 55 for all mine workers and all workers with no loss of pay. And let's make a start with retirement at 55 for McGregor, and the sooner the better. Secondly, let's ensure that we ban overtime both in my industry and other industries and get kids on the unemployment scheme back to work. Let's begin to translate our policies into meaningful terms.
Ulster MP Enoch Powell is calling for more police patrolling in his constituency of South Down, where two police reservists have been gunned down by an IRA gang. William Finlay and James Ferguson, who were both married and in their 50s, were ambushed while patrolling the Meadowlands estate in Downpatrick. Tension between Catholics and Protestants in the area has increased recently, and Mr. Powell says these appalling murders are a sinister attempt to divide the community even further. He says the Republicans are trying to turn the town into a terrorist headquarters, and the situation now demands the intensive concern of the government and the IUC. Author William Golding's publishers are dismissing claims by a Nobel Academy member that he isn't good enough to have been awarded this year's prize for literature. The judge said Mr. Golding is a little English phenomenon of no particular interest. But the chairman of publishers Faber and Faber, Matthew Evans, says the judge's claims are preposterous.
I think the views of a 78-year-old Swedish writer who I'd never heard of, and I'm sure a great number of other people haven't, aren't particularly relevant. I think, however, the grounds on which he says he shouldn't have been awarded the prize are idiotic and preposterous, because what he says is that Golding is a novelist who is really only known in Britain. If you look at the sales of Golding's novels, for example, Lord of the Flies has now sold 4.5 million copies. 3.5 million of those have been sold outside Britain. He is an international novelist.
Four people are still missing despite an intensive search after their light aircraft disappeared last night. The plane was flying from Cardiff to Dublin. An RAF Sea King helicopter is scouring the coast of Pembrokeshire while an Irish naval vessel patrols the Irish Sea. A mountain rescue team has also been called in to search the high ground in the Preseli Mountains in South Wales. The plane last made contact at 6 o'clock last night, but rescue workers say there's still a glimmer of hope that the four people are still alive. Poor visibility has been hampering the search. Two Israeli soldiers have been killed in an ambush in the southern Lebanese port of Sidon. The state-run Beirut radio said unidentified men hurled a grenade at a jeep escorting an Israeli convoy through the town. Shooting was heard after the explosion. Independent Radio News, it's 3 minutes past 11.
In London, it's about 15 degrees. It's not going to get very much warmer, the estimated maximum 16. Cloudy today, with some rain this morning and quite a lot of rain this afternoon. It will become dry this evening, and the temperatures will get down to 9 degrees. The opening Financial Times index is up 2.3 at 713.7. I would like to say again, thank you very much to all the people who wrote letters when we asked you earlier in the week to write letters on the theme LBC the next 10 years in 150 words or less. Sounded a bit like an assignment, and I suppose in a way it was. Thank you very much indeed, and congratulations to the writers of the letters that we have read out so far. If I can find them, I'll give you your names again in a moment. But in the meantime, you will recall that I asked my best friend Douglas Cameron to do exactly the same thing, and you did, and thank you very much indeed. I was half joking, you know, but you took it seriously, and I'm very grateful that you did. I wonder, would you mind reading what you've had to say, Douglas?
Yeah, I'd be delighted, Brian. I'm very glad to have the opportunity of reading a letter on your programme.
If you don't watch it, you could become a regular guest.
Well, all I said was, dear Brian, this weekend, far more knowledgeable and influential voices than mine will be telling us of their hopes and aspirations for LBC in the next 10 years, company chairman Christopher Chataway and our editorial director Peter Thornton among them. You'll be able to hear their views in LBC's special 10th birthday programme tonight at 8 o'clock, with a repeat tomorrow night at 9. But for me personally, to get the next 10 years into perspective, it is necessary to go back 9.5 years to that early morning in March 1974 when I presented my first AM program. LBC was then a very weak 6-month-old baby hanging grimly onto its broadcasting life. Now, about to celebrate its 10th birthday, it's a healthy, strapping youngster. So I think my wishes for it, as it approaches life as a teenager, are fivefold. One, that it makes even half as much progress in the next 10 years as it has in the last 10. Two, that we build on our foundation as a news and information station second to none. Because I think you'll agree, Brian, that standing still in this business means losing ground. Thirdly, that we make companies even more aware of the tremendous advantages of advertising on radio.
4, that our presenters get out and about more to meet our public, because I'm sure the goodwill is there. And 5, if I may be allowed to play my small part in making all this come about, I'd be more than delighted to do so.
Very Douglas Cameron. Thank you very much, Douglas. And I'm sure that we'll be sitting here 10 years from now, a little wiser, a little more grim-faced, perhaps, and doing something similar, if not the same. Thank you very much indeed. And Peter Dealey has been set the same task. I'll be hearing what he came up with at around about 11:30, LBC News Radio.
Ladies, did I tell you about the day I caught a number 6 bus? Well, I took it for quickness, and there we were, stuck in a jam during rush hour. Suddenly, this lady's voice rose like a lark above the traffic. "I want to change my husband," she cried. Silence all round. And then we realized all she wanted was to change her husband to Flora Margarine. The way she was telling everybody, I thought she was after my job. She knew that Flora's made with pure sunflower oil, and it's high in polyunsaturates, with a light, delicate taste men like. By the time I got off, all the other women were talking about changing their husbands too, to Flora, the margarine for men.
Hello, hello, hello. That's 3. If you can count all the O's in the Perrier commercial in the very next break, you could win a French holiday for 2. Pencils ready and off you go. That's 4.
LBC reports through the afternoon. All the lunchtime news and information you need from midday until 2. At 2, the guest of the day and the news in detail. From 4 till 7, as London makes its way home, a fast-moving service of news, travel, sport and financial news. London Life is at 7, news of the capital city with entertainments listed and reviewed. Nightline, London's late-night phone-in, is from 9 till midnight. 24 hours a day, LBC News Radio.
This is Brian Hayes on LBC, 7:30 past 11. It's Friday morning, and time to look back at some of the week's news. We thought we'd concentrate this week, as we will next week, on a party conference. You know it was the Labour Party conference at Brighton this week. And, of course, Peter Riddle, political editor of the Financial Times, was down there, of course. And